Hi, you're listening to Beauty Within Podcast. So I have my friend Deidre Smith here today. We've been friends since, I don't know, since you started coming to our church. I was, what, 15, 16? Was I younger than that?
We met at Melanie's wedding.
Okay, so I was really young. I was like 12 or 13, something. Anyways, we've been great friends ever since we met, even though I'm a bit younger than her. How old are you?
29.
So we're just going to talk about your life today. And just, so first of all, I just want you to introduce yourself, like, you know, where you go to church and all that. Even though I know that, they don't know that. So introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Deidre Smith. I'm wife and mother to two kids, a boy and a girl. I attend Bethel United Apostolic Church. I'm a praise singer here. And that's pretty much it.
Have you always been apostolic?
Pretty much. My mom was raised apostolic. She met my dad. And they kind of backslid a little bit. And about two is when I was two. And that's when they started attending church again.
Yeah. Your mom, actually, her mom and dad, they are my Sunday school teachers for college and career class at our church. And she always tells how when she had kids, she, you know, she could no longer just do what she wanted. She felt like, I have to be in church. I have to teach my kids the truth and how to get to heaven. And so she talks about that all the time. She makes us all tear up about it. But anyways, so she's married to Brother Jordan Smith within our church. He is a minister in our church. Y'all were youth pastor and youth pastor's wife for a while here. So anyways, just tell us a little bit about your story with him.
So I'm trying to remember. We actually met through Brother Benji and Sister Renee here. And at the time he wasn't in church. And we kind of just, I don't want to say grew together, but at the time he was trying to get in church and we actually split. And which is fine. He felt he needed to get closer to God and focus mainly on that.
Yeah.
Like, again, that's a fine. But he kind of like fell off the face of the earth and didn't talk to me. And I wasn't, attending this church at the time. So I kind of went about my business, and talked to other guys in between then. Then about a year later, things just happened in my life. I actually ended up talking to him again and getting reacquainted, then started attending this church, and everything just kind of fell into place where it needed to be. So after that, we had been dating for almost a year or a little over a year, and then we got engaged. And we're engaged to about 6 months, got married in April. Then, trying to recall all this. And then we were married for almost 2 years before we had Colston. Then,
I mean, I know all of this, but it's informative to all of you.
Then, 3.5 years later, here comes Lacey.
Yay.
So it's just, it's been a roller coaster, but it's been a fun one.
Yeah. So, so you went to another church. You went to Brother Black's church at the time. Okay. And then was it strange, like moving churches, you know, even though you were older, you had to move churches and, you know.
Yes and no, because, well, first off, I still kind of kept in touch with everybody here in between everything. And then when I started attending, it was already kind of like home to me. So it, the only, I guess, strange thing it was I went from a 300 attendance church to 100. So I mean, that, so big church to smaller. So
it's kind of funny. So we knew you for years before we met Sam, which is her, that's my sister-in-law, that is her sister, and you know, the way her and Levi met, my brother Levi and Samantha, her sister, the way they met is kind of crazy to me, because we had known you for years, and then one Sunday, Sam, you know, decided to visit, and her and Levi met, and that was it. They were together. I mean, they've been together ever since, and I think that's just like...
And that's been, gosh, I think 9 years.
Yeah, it's been crazy. That, I mean, it blows my mind.
It's how everything fell into place.
I knew you had a sister, but, like, I thought she was younger, like 12, which I was like 14, and I was like... But, yeah, I knew she had a sister, but I'd never met her. And then one Sunday, this girl just showed up. And I remember we were out in the car after church, and I went up to meet Sam, and I said, you know, I think my brother was looking at you. And she said, well, I hope so. And right then and there, I was like, Levi, you have got to go meet this girl, get you a breath mint, and go talk to her.
And that's the end.
And that was it. I mean... They found each other, and, you know, they've been together ever since. They have a little girl named Evelyn, and they're about to have their...
On the way.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So, how was it going from, like, entering into motherhood? So, like, you know, you were young and then married, and then 2 years later, a baby boy comes along. Was it strange? Was it exciting? Was it, you know, nerve-wracking?
It's a little bit of everything, I think. You go from, well, first being married, you go from being by yourself to going and living with somebody for the first time ever. And then however long till you have children, if you have children, to two other people and one little person that you have to take care of for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And, but it's a bunch of different things. It's joy, nervousness. I mean, it's just a little, it's
yeah.
I mean, a lot I'm of sure. Different emotions.
I've thought about it. Like, of course, I've thought about it. Like, I want to have kids someday. I pray to God that that's in His will for my life. But that's a whole other story. But I think like the responsibility that comes with it. It's like. You know, my dad talks about when he married Mom, the day of their wedding, he was so nervous because he was like, he said all he could think about was, I'm about to marry this woman and I'm going to have to take care of her for the rest of our lives. Like, that's a huge responsibility on the man. And then, you know, going from being, you know, a lot of people get married young. So, like, young and free and then married and then... All of a sudden, you're a mom. You're responsible. You know, you have to get that mom face. Like,
I know. I remember so I had a C-section. So I actually ended up being in the hospital for 4 or 5 days after recovering. And then we got home, and I just cried. And Jordan didn't know what to do. He was like, he was about to leave to go get my medication. And he called my mom and he's like, I don't know what to do. She's lost it.
Yeah.
And it's a lot.
I can't, like, my mom has told me about the baby blues, and I know that that can lead into, you know, postpartum depression. I know that that's a real thing. But I struggle with emotions already, like, just me as a girl. Like, me and Sister Sarah actually talked about this last time. You know, we talked about, we want a man that, like, understands that we have emotions. It doesn't have to be like, you know, he cry with us and, you know, but just have an understanding of, like, okay, she has emotions. But, like, the baby blues, you know, did you ever have postpartum depression?
I think I had just, like, a small, like I said, I got home and just cried bawled. My eyes
yeah.
out. So, I mean, I wasn't just, like... I felt like I needed to go see my doctor, but it was just, I think when you get home, it's just like all of that. You don't have help from the nurses or, you know, that's, that kid is yours.
When Kayla, my friend Kayla, and she had Ava, Ava cried, like, you know, she was like a cry baby. And so we went to go see her and Zach in the hospital. And, you know, everything was fine. But the nurse came in, and Ava had been crying for a while, and Kayla was just like, I don't know why she's crying. Like, I changed her diaper. I feel like she's fed. I feel like... And the nurse was like, oh, she just does that, and, you know. And I'm sure nurses that work in that atmosphere know that some babies just do that. Some newborns are just like that. But I remember we got ready to leave, and she just started to cry. And I was crying because she was crying. And, you know, Zach and his brother Nick, they're my cousins, they were like, why are y'all crying? And we're like, I don't know why I'm crying. I'm just crying because Kayla's crying. And Kayla's like, I don't know why I'm crying. And I just remember, like, when she brought Ava home, I was there. I'd, like, gotten there and set up some balloons or something. And she was in the back breastfeeding. And I went back there just to sit with her. And she just cried. And, like, it was just baby blues. I know that. But, like, just feeling that. Like, I just felt her heart. I don't know. Just not that her heart was broken. It just felt like. It was a sad moment, like, you know.
She's like, this is something that's supposed to be a great time, mm-hmm. and just was a it? Million emotions are wreaking havoc.
I think, because when you said when you got home, that's when the emotions kind of set in. I think it's just like, okay, I'm really on my own.
Yep.
Like you said, like, you don't have help with the nurses, and your mom wasn't there yet. Your husband had just left to go get you something. You know, you're just there with this little human that, you know,
is dependent on you.
Yeah, they depend on you. I know. So, yeah, I can't wait for that. just kidding. So what was the wait between? So I call Colston her little boy. I call him Bubby because that's my Bubby. But what was the wait between them? Because how many years is between them?
There's about 3.5 years,
yeah,
almost 4.
So, the wait, I know after Colston, you were kind of like,
no more.
No more babies right now.
And you know what triggered it was Evelyn.
Really?
Yeah.
I could see that.
Okay. I think I just want one more.
Yeah. I just, every time I see someone that's pregnant or thinking about getting pregnant, I'm just like, okay, God, send me a husband. I want to have a baby. So, were you, like, for sure not going to have another baby, and then, you know, you saw Evelyn, and you're like, okay, or were you, like, I know some parents are like, no, and then eventually they're like, okay, I'm going to have another baby.
The second one.
Okay.
At first, I was like, no, I'm good with one kid, one kid's enough, and then baby fever, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, I know baby fever. I've had that before, trust me. So another question would be, like, what are some struggles as a mom that you face? You know, I know a lot of people, I know parents who have, like, really young babies, and, you know, they have struggles with, like, their kids not listening, or, you know, different things like that. I know y'all have younger kids. How old is Bubby?
He is 6.
He's 6. And then Lacey, she's 2.
2.
Okay. So, yeah, I just want to know, like, get the inside scoop on, from a mom to a single girl, the struggles that you have as a mom.
Well, first off, definitely the no listening. Colston, he just finished kindergarten, and it's like he went to school and learned all this attitude. Like, boy, please, let's rewind and try this again. And then Lacey, I mean, you know Lacey, she at first was, I only want my mom or dad,
mm-hmm.
and she gave you the stank face.
Yeah.
And then now all of a sudden she's come out of her little shell. She has an attitude, and
she does
the whole nine yards.
She's 2, and I saw her roll her eyes at you the other day.
Oh, Lord.
And I was cracking up. I didn't mean to laugh, but I was cracking up because it was just so funny. She had written on her hand, and Deidre looked at her and was like, you better stop that. And she just looked at you and just, like, looked up the ceiling for, like, I don't know, 15 seconds straight, and then looked back at her. I was like, that attitude, girl.
If looks could kill, she would have.
Yes. She done killed some people. So now, fun fact for all of you listening, I was Colston's teacher for about 2 months this past school year. I covered for Miss Whitney, who was on maternity leave. She actually had twins, so, and they're the sweetest. But anyways, I was there for about 2 months, and I loved it. I did. I'm going to school to be a teacher, so we all know that, you know, that's something that I love. But I just noticed a change in Bubby. Like, I just knew, like, I don't know, he's so different at school. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's not as reserved. He's more outgoing. He's more, you know, going to do what his friends want him to do rather than what he needs to be doing. Not that it was ever anything bad. It was kindergartner. So more than likely it was talking or, you know, not doing their work. But I know that the attitude change was there because it was just
crazy.
Yeah.
Let's tone it down for just a second because I ain't ready.
It's just funny how school changes. Like, I remember when I grew up, when I lived in Arkansas, we were homeschooled for all the way up until I was in fifth grade. And then in fifth grade, I went 1 year to a private school that my church had opened at the time. And then we moved here. So I went to sixth grade, but they tested me and my brother, of course, and they put me back a grade because, you know, homeschooled, public. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I was in fifth grade and I rode the school bus and I hated riding the school bus. It was just like, to me, it was a culture shock because I had never been around people, like kids that, you know, said bad words or like when I was young, I grew up around church people. Like my entire life from, you know, when I was born to fifth grade was literally around church people, school, church, everything that I had done, you know, my friends. So when I started riding on the school bus, I heard some things that I had never heard before. It was crazy. And that's where, like, I feel like most kids start acting out. They start, you know, because they see other kids doing it and they're like, why can't I do that? And so, but good thing is Colston goes to a Christian Academy school and it's apostolic based. So it's an amazing school for him to go to. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for HCA. They're amazing. And I'm so thankful that God has blessed us enough to send him to school there. And then Lacey in the near future.
Yes, of course. I love anybody that's listening from that school. I love that school so much. I taught there for 2 months. I was just a substitute, so I wasn't an official teacher, but they made me feel so welcome and, like, you know, the kids were so amazing. And every time I go to visit, because my little sisters go there, the kids are just like, Miss Sheree. I just love it. It just touches my heart. So I pray one day that, you know, something opens up in a private school that's apostolic based that I can work. And, you know, I would be so happy to do that. So what are some, you know, struggles with marriage, like being a wife, that you have?
I would say the differences between boys and girls on how they think. I don't know how many times me and Jordan have, quote, fought over something he thinks differently about than me. It's, I don't want to say power struggle. It's, and sometimes, like, I think we've never really had just a huge major fight. It's always something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Stupid. And it's like, I'll think about it and I'm like, why did we fight about that? It's definitely the differences. Like, he, and especially going back to, like, guys think, why are you crying over that? It, another thing would be, like when I was working and I had a bad day and I would tell him about it and it was just me venting and crying and he would try to fix it. I'm like, you don't have to fix it. I just want to vent.
It's healthy to vent. It is. Like, if you, I talked about it in class today. If you do it in a healthy way. Now, don't, you don't go talk bad about that person.
Yeah.
But it's healthy to say, well, she did this to me and it really frustrated me. Like, this brought me into tears today. It made me feel bad about myself. It's okay to express your feelings without, okay, she's such a horrible person. No, they just made a mistake and it made you feel bad about yourself. It's okay. Like, just, we'll get through it. But
I don't know how many times we've talked about just specifically that in young marrieds, how guys and girls are wired differently.
Yes.
It's crazy and amazing at the same, like, how God did that. He's like, okay, I want you to be like this, and I want you to be like this.
My dad talks about it all the time. He talks about how there's just such a huge difference. Like, you know, like, him and my mom, they don't ever really fight, if I'm being honest. Like, if they do, I don't know it, because they don't do it around me. Like, they had, like, one fight when we were younger, and we bring it up all the time, me and my brothers and sisters, because it was over something crazy. So they were at the church, and my dad, he was around a whole group of men, and my mom walked up, and she's like, hey, I'm ready to go, let's go. And all the men started, like, joking with dad, like, oh, you know, she tells you what to do, you know. And it frustrated him naturally, because he's a man, and, you know. And then she didn't feel like she did anything wrong. She was just ready to go, because my family, you know, now that we're the pastor's family, it makes sense. But beforehand, we were always the last to leave the church, like, every single Sunday, every Wednesday, every church, that's where we were. And so she was just ready to go, and she just took her moment, was like, hey, let's go. So they got home, and I vividly remember, I don't know why my mom did this, but my dad took the keys and was trying to unlock the door, and she took the keys out of his hand and threw them in the yard. Like, she was, it wasn't funny at the time, but it's funny now in the story. But, and then I remember my dad stepped back and kicked the door in, like, he was upset. And Deidre's face looks shocked right now, because you don't see my parents doing this kind of stuff. Like, they don't ever act like this. So anyways, and then we went inside the house, and, you know, guys will wear, like, their button-down shirt, but a t-shirt underneath. Mm-hmm. And my dad, like, ripped the button off, and the buttons went everywhere. And he grabbed the keys, and he's like, he left. Like, he went uptown. He said, he walked outside, he got in the truck, and he was like, I don't have anywhere I'm going to go. Where am I going to go? So he comes back in and he apologizes. And, you know, they're good. But, like, we bring that fight up all the time, because they don't fight often. But my dad, like, they'll get in small arguments. Like, such just silly stuff. Yeah. But, you know.
Yeah.
It's nothing big. But it just proves that men and women are different. You know what I mean? Like, there's a huge difference there.
It is. It's. And that's something that's hard to learn at the beginning stages of marriage. And it's still a struggle, but it slowly gets better with time, and how you kind of get to know each other and understand how they think or what irks them and all that.
Because your parents in our college and career class, they talk about, you know, when you get married and you first start living with each other, they were like, you know, to all of the young girls in the class, they're like, you're all excited about, you know, decorating the house and, like, you know, finally being married and being with the love of my life. And they were like, but what you don't know is when you get settled into a home, there's going to be things that your husband does or your wife does that just gets under your skin. Things that you wouldn't even think would bother you, but they were like, it's just stuff that just gets under your skin, and you have to learn how to cope with that and be like, okay, I'm not going to let it bother me, because I love this person and I married this person. Like, if I let it bother me all the time, we'd be fighting all the time.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Jordan, there's one thing that he probably will do until the day he dies, is bites his nails. And he don't have no nails. I'm like, what are you chomping at the bits at. Stop it.
This gets under your skin, doesn't it?
Yes, because I can, he could be, we have a sectional, and he could be clear on the other side of the couch, and I can hear him over a TV, or if I'm watching a movie on my phone, and I'll sit there and stare at him until he finally looks at me and, what?
What?
Yeah, I've heard, like, just married couples telling me, like, oh, he does this or she does this, and I'm thinking, to me, it's like, that's not really a big deal, but I'm not married. I don't live with the person. You know, I live with my family, and my sisters do things that are annoying. So, I mean, I'm sure I do things that are annoying, too.
I was going to say, there's probably things that I do that annoy him.
Mm-hmm. But it's a part of life. Yeah. So I was thinking about, like, getting an apartment a while back, and I was like, I'm going to see, like, another single young woman who I'm going to live with. And then I was like, I don't think that's healthy. Because not that I don't love the ladies in my church. I love every one of you so much. But, like, it's, you know, we're not around each other 24/7. We don't know how it is when we're home and chilling on the couch all day, not doing anything. It sounds great. Sounds like a slumber party. Like, ooh, so fun. But I don't know about that. I don't know.
I don't know. It's definitely, because I've thought about it before in the past, moving in with another lady at the time, and it just wasn't right at the time, and my parents, I was still living with them, they didn't agree, so I obviously had to do what they said since I'm under their roof, and I think about it now, and I'm like, there would have been no way I could have done it and made it. I would have ended up moving back in with my parents.
Yeah.
More than likely.
I spoke with my parents on it. Again, I'm 23, so, you know, it's a different changing from going from being like a 17-year-old that, you know, you feel grown, but you're not. And then you turn 18. And by that time, most kids are out of their house, out of their parents' house, or they're headed towards that way. But it's different because slowly over time, my parents have went from just being my parents to being my best friends. And it's not that they can't get on to me. They can. And I listen. I'm respectful. But I've had friends in the past, they're like, you know, I was about 18 or 19 and then 20 and 21. And my friends are like, so they don't tell you what to do? And I'm like, well, I respect them. So, for example, I don't have a bedtime. I don't have, like, a curfew. Like, if I'm out, I'm out. If I'm in, I'm in. Like, you know. But I'm respectful enough to not be out all night.
Yeah.
And not just go crazy and do whatever I want and forget them because, you know, I still respect my parents, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It's not that they're not disciplining me. They can if they want. They can still give me a whooping if they want. Yeah. They choose not to because I'm 23 years old. But, you know, so last year I was like, okay, I think it's time I start thinking about the idea of, like, moving out on my own because I'm already grown. I'm already doing whatever. And, I talked to another girl in the church about it. I was like, you know, do you want to think about it? And she's like, yeah, of course. And so we thought about it for a couple of days. And I went to my parents. I'm like, you know, what do you think about this? Because at the end of the day, I respect them enough that if they said absolutely not, I'm not going to do it. And that was like another lesson I had to learn. It was another situation we went through because my parents were like, they didn't feel like they could just be like, no, you can't do this because I'm older. But they also didn't approve, kind of approve of me moving out at the time. And so because I'm respectful, I was like, okay, well, then I'll consider that when I'm thinking about it. And I prayed about it, and it was like, nope, I shouldn't do this. And that Sunday, I went to the girl, and she came to me. I mean, we came to each other at the same time, and both were like, okay, no, we're not going to do this. I think it was God, like,
exactly.
You know, you shouldn't do this right now. But it's like, it's weird being this old, still living at home. because like me and my mom, we're best friends. Like we hang out, like I hang out with my parents. Like, I'm not, and some will argue I've always hung out with my parents. Like, and I know you're close with your family.
Yeah, I was gonna say if they weren't an hour away, I would be at their house every day.
Yeah. I'm so close with my parents. Like, and I love it. I love it because, you know, we have our own jokes and, you know, the only reason I watch Bachelor or Bachelorette is for my mom. Like, me and my mom sit and watch it, like, you know, or we watch Grey's Anatomy or, you know, the only reason I watch those shows is to spend time with my mom. Or, you know, sometimes I'll get some songs together and go over them with my dad just to spend time with my dad, because that's his thing, you know, that's our thing. We love music, we love singing, and it's weird how when you get older you realize like your parents have always been like your good friends, like they've gotten onto you, but they're the closest friends you exactly. could think of. Yeah, because I know you and Sam are very close with Brother Peyton and Sister Rhonda. I know how close y'all's family is. So, and our family's the same. I think our families are equally close.
Yeah.
Like, we do everything together. So, I know that, I mentioned it earlier, y'all were youth pastor and youth pastor's wife at Bethel Church for a while. I was on your staff, so I would know. But anyways, so the story behind that was y'all were in place for how many years? A couple years?
A couple. I would say three years.
3 years. Okay. And during that time, we had so many events, you know, that we still do in the youth group just because y'all planned them out. And, you know, we have that Valentine's dinner every year because y'all came up with that. And it was fantastic. Like, we love doing that. But anyways, something I want to talk about is, you know, understanding, you know, your passions and your desires with God. So y'all were youth pastor and youth pastor's wife, and you both together decided we need to take a step down and move on to other things in God, other ministries, other things that you wanted to achieve. But how was that deciding factor of like, I'm here, but I want to step down to move to here. How was that? Like, how did it come about?
So I think it was both of us losing, I don't want to say losing our burden, but in a way it was for young people. Now we still love them and
absolutely
we are there for them 100%.
Yes.
But it was one of those things. It's hard to decide and pray about that when it's something that you once upon a time were so passionate about, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden it's not there anymore. So we definitely prayed a lot about it and talked about, and it was it was just that time to step down and take a step back. And
yeah, and that's a natural thing. People think, oh, I'll be in this position forever. No, you won't.
No.
Because as you grow in God, your desires, your passion, your burden, they all change every day. I mean, my passion, my burdens have changed over time. You know what I mean? And so, to me, it's like seeing you and Brother Jordan do that spoke to me, because it was like, you need to sometimes take a step back and understand, okay, my passion, my burden here is not what it used to be.
Yeah, and that can be a really big hindrance on the young people just because they're not getting what they need from their leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
Yeah, and it's... I think it was a brave move for both of you, because I know it was hard. My sisters still talk about, you know, the day that y'all walked in and told them. I mean, they tell us it was heartbreaking because y'all were both in tears. It's an emotional thing because
yeah.
you have an emotional attachment to these kids. You have an emotional attachment to this position. But understanding that, you know, that was no longer for you at that point. Not that you don't love them, not that you don't support them, or that you don't pray for them. But it's just that you came to a point in your life and you're like, it's more of a hindrance for me to push through and just stay here than it is for me to say, okay, let me see what else God has for me. Yeah.
And it can definitely show that you care for them because you want them to get the very best. And when you don't feel like you're giving your 100%, then yeah.
I mean, I'm over choir. If I ever felt like I couldn't give the choir, and I know it's not the same as the youth group, so don't feel like I'm belittling, you know, either. But, you know, if I felt like I couldn't give 100% to the choir like I do, I would take a step down and give it to someone who could, you know, at that time. I think it shows maturity in your walk with God because you show, like, okay, I want better for them than what I can give them. And that's crazy mature to me. Like, just because it's hard. I mean, like I said, you have an emotional attachment to this position, to these people, you know, to the youth staff, to the youth group, to the pastor that, you know, put you in that place. But, you know, it was a sad day that, you know, when I found out y'all were moving down. But I was so thankful for the time I had with y'all, like, on the youth staff. I mean, I think that's when me and you got closer. Yeah. I mean, we've always been kind of close, but, like, we're even closer now. And I'm an older age, so, like, we're even closer than, you know, when I was in my teen years and you were married. But that time in our lives, it was my first time being on a youth staff, mm-hmm. and then your first time being, like, over it. So it was, like, really fun to, like, I don't know,
get experience it together.
Yeah, because, I mean, we started a Valentine's dinner that I mentioned earlier. We do it, and the youth group serves, you know, couples in the church. And every year, people request it, people love it. I mean, it's like, we just do it every year because everybody loves it. Like, it was such a fun event, and it's very classy. So, like, you know, it was like they were at this extremely nice restaurant, and you know, me and Sister Deidre and Hannah, we all got to, like, get together and plan it, and it was just a fun time in my book. So I know that was a hard time to say, okay, I'm gonna take a step back. But you're on the praise team, so that's number one for me. That's number one. That's where I started, and that's where you started in our church. We used to be sopranos together, and then I moved to the alto section. But I think, you know, over time, just being involved in similar ministries, being involved in the same ministry, it's brought me and you closer. Mm-hmm. I know that it's, you have a huge impact on my life for sure. You just are the best. I love it. I love when you and him are here and, like, I can go up to you and talk to you about everything. And I always go to Deidre and, like, guess what happened today? And I'm just, like, talking about everything. But I want you to know you have an impact on my life, and I love you. You're awesome. Tonight, I think this podcast has been amazing. Remember to listen in next week. Next week, I'm actually starting my own personal series called The Braver You. And it's just me talking about being the best version of yourself you can be as a woman and finding your voice to be brave and courageous. So please listen in next Thursday, and I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you for Sister Deidre for coming on.
Thank you for having me.